He just didn't have the temperament for paperwork or for going through channels. An officer asked for a leave from him at one point, and Forrest said no, and it went back down, and it came back up. This officer explained in greater detail why he wanted leave. No, went back down. It came back the third time, and Forrest scrawled across it, "I have told you twice, goddammit, no." That's Forrest's way of handling paperwork, and I think it's indicative of the kind of personality he was. He was the kind of personality that Braxton Bragg did not want to cross, I think. So Bragg listened to this. He kept his mouth shut, and Forrest went away. Bragg lost an excellent cavalry officer. Well, all of this squabbling taking place in the Confederate High Command, Bragg finally moved toward Chattanooga, where he set up a line pinning Rosecrans's army in the city. Bragg occupied two key pieces of high ground at Chattanooga. Missionary Ridge, a 400-foot-high ridge that ran mostly east of the city. He placed troops there, and he placed artillery and troops on Lookout Mountain, a very impressive piece of high ground that loomed over Chattanooga and the Tennessee River, where it made a big loop by the city of Chattanooga. The artillery on Lookout Mountain commanded approaches from the south and west. Union reinforcements were ordered to Chattanooga to bolster Rosecrans's force. Sherman from Mississippi came with 17,000 men, and Joseph Hooker was brought back into active command and sent out with 25,000 men from the Army of the Potomac, the 11th and 12th Corps. They went by rail, and the Union movement by rail of these 25,000 men was a very impressive operation, stood in great contrast to the efficiency of the Confederate rail operation that had sent James Longstreet's two divisions out to reinforce Bragg. Well, inside Chattanooga, supplies were growing very short for Rosecrans because Bragg's army controlled the rail and water communications into the city, and the Federals found themselves depending on one very tenuous outlet along which they could bring materials into the city, one very narrow road for food and other material. By mid-October, thousands of horses had died, and the men were on quarter rations inside the city. It was a situation that was setting itself up to become a true disaster, and the Federal High Command decided that a change was necessary. Let's move now to bring Ulysses S. Grant onto the scene. On October 17th, Lincoln named Grant commander of all Union forces between the Appalachian Mountains and the Mississippi River. This is the old command area that Henry Halleck had been given in the wake of his great successes in the early part of that Western campaigning in 1862. It's also the same area that Albert Sidney Johnston had commanded on the Confederate side. And again, it's a measure of the confidence in Grant that Lincoln would give him such wide responsibility. As soon as Grant had the responsibility, he removed William S. Rosecrans from command of the Army of the Cumberland. Lincoln approved of this. As Lincoln put it, he thought Rosecrans had, quote, become confused and stunned, like a duck hit on the head after Chickamauga. Grant next went personally to Chattanooga, and things began to look up for the Federals once he was on the scene. A series of moves drove the Confederates back from part of their investing position and allowed the Federals to open a more direct supply line. Soon the Confederate siege became almost totally ineffective. Now, Grant was aided in this by the detachment of James Longstreet and about 15,000 troops from Bragg's army. They were sent off to try to recapture Knoxville. Jefferson Davis had recommended that to Bragg back when he'd visited the army to see about all these squabbles after Chickamauga. I think Bragg, however, was happy to have Longstreet go because he and Longstreet were not getting along. I'm sure that he knew that Longstreet didn't approve of his generalship. But off go 15,000 troops, and that leaves Bragg with only about 45,000 as we enter the key last phase of this campaign. And that is Grant's planning of an offensive that would drive the Confederates entirely away from Chattanooga. By mid-November, Grant had built his army up to 75,000 men in the city. He outnumbered Bragg by about 30,000. Bragg still sat in his lines on Missionary Ridge and on Lookout Mountain.